And now with your forecast, here's CTV weather specialist Lindsay Morrison.
Holding on to the heat this evening and that risk of a thunder shower. Forecast low 21. If this heat is a little too much for you, you're probably going to like the weekend forecast. 24 degrees Saturday, 22 on Sunday, and a good amount of sun both days. Of course, the question remains, when will we get some rain? We have a chance Monday through Wednesday next week with light showers possible each of those days. Watch for a couple of highs suddenly below seasonal next week at around 18 degrees. From the CTV Weather Center, I'm Lindsay Morrison.
And I'm Zoraida Ullman with Toronto's breaking news, traffic and weather on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
News Talk Tonight continues on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards. Don't worry, Jim Richards is coming back. He'll be back on Monday to the big chair, and I will be doing something else entirely. Sitting at home in my own big chair, talking to myself, probably. Anyway, we have a very special guest in this segment. Jessica Morehouse joins me. She's a money expert, speaker, and host of the More Money podcast. And I'm guessing that podcast is available wherever you find quality podcasts.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Only the best podcast platforms is where my podcast exists on.
So we're here to talk about weddings, and we're getting into that season now. People are planning; they're probably booked far way in ahead to have weddings during the summer months. But man, it's getting it's always been expensive to get married, but it's getting more and more expensive. So Canadian couples apparently are dipping into their savings and investments to front more than half of their wedding costs. As a money expert, do you think that's a good idea?
I say as a money expert, but also as someone who has now been married for 10 years and can kind of look back with some experience and see would I have changed anything. And we really did do it as frugally as possible because we were in our mid-20s at the time. And I was, you know, financial blogger and into all that budgeting. Honestly, it is one of the things that I hear often from people my age and older. Don't spend so much money on your wedding. What you should be spending it on is, you know, honestly, the honeymoon, like have an amazing trip instead of a one-day party. And, you know, some of the things that you spend money on for your wedding, they really are. It's like you're spending thousands of dollars on a dress. You will never wear it. My wedding dress is still in my mom's closet. And she's like, can you please take it? I'm like, I have no space for this big puffy dress. Yep. What are we going to do with it? And we spend a ton of money on it. And so there are some great things that you can do to still have an amazing special day to celebrate your marriage without going overboard.
Why is it, do you think? I'm married as well. We've been married for ages and we kept it small, but then we threw a big party, which ended up costing, you know, more money than it probably should have. But but what is it, do you think, that people get caught up in? Is it family pressure? What is it?
I think it's societal pressure, it's Instagram, family pressure, pressure from all sides, really. And just like you feel there's a big burden and expectation. Like for me, the big expectation was I was the first person in my family, you know, I have two sisters, to get married. And then my husband's an only child. So we felt like we had to do a duty to make this a special wedding because it was the first one. But honestly, we spent money. And yes, it was a lovely day. But looking back, it really didn't feel like it was anything to do with us. Like it was an amazing party if you were an attendee. That's why I love going to weddings, because I don't have to spend any money besides giving them a nice wedding gift. And I get to enjoy everything. I didn't get for my wedding, I didn't get to eat the wedding cake. It was gone by the time I even thought about grabbing a slice. I didn't get all the afters. I didn't get to enjoy all of that stuff. So that's something you got to remember. You are going to spend so much money on things that you may not even be able to experience because you're going to be very, very busy on that day. So like what you did, I see a lot more couples doing, you know, a very intimate ceremony and then throwing a big party. And even for the big party, again, because you could not tell the vendors that, hey, it's a wedding, just say it's a party. And, you know, the things that you're really going to spend the most money on are food and alcohol and maybe live entertainment. So that's where you can kind of make sure, okay, what can we do to make sure we're not spending too much money? Maybe don't have a full dinner. Maybe just have, you know, canapes, appetizers. Maybe don't do a full open bar. Do a subsidized bar. That's what we did. We put a couple grand into the bar after that limit was hit, then it became a cash bar. There's lots of different things that you can do. So you can make sure that, hey, we're setting aside this amount for our wedding. Let's not go over it. And, you know, it's very effective.
Okay. I don't want to offend any photographers out there, but I wonder about the necessity of having video and hundreds of pictures from your wedding, because I honestly don't know anyone who ever looks at them again.
I don't know. Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, we just had our 10-year wedding anniversary, and I said, oh, we should look at our wedding photos, and we totally forgot to do that. So it's important to have some documentation. Yep. I'm glad that we did get some beautiful photos. At the time, it was totally outside of our price range to get a videographer. Now it's, I think, a little bit more affordable, but also now everyone has access to their, you know, iPhone or their smartphone where they can take so many photos, and there's definitely better ways where you can then ask everyone, hey, dump all your photos, dump all your videos so you can see all that, instead of maybe spending a ton of money to get this feature film from this, you know, amazing videographer that's going to cost you $10,000.
I'm speaking with Jessica Morehouse, money expert, speaker, and host of the More Money podcast, available wherever you find fine podcasts. So the money thing goes on past just the idea that, oh, we don't have enough money for a down payment on an apartment or a house or a car or whatever it is that that might come out of there. A review of 115 studies about divorce found that couples who argue about finances at least once a week are about 30% more likely to get divorced than couples who spend liberally on their weddings. So for me, you know, that is a red flag.
Big red flag. I mean, it's normal to have disagreements with money. I mean, at least I guess when you're arguing, you are communicating, but maybe not very effectively. So really, I feel like that is a solvable problem, because, and I mean, that's a whole other episode. We could talk for hours about money issues in couples. But with that said, you know, your first big investment together is that wedding. Like for me and my husband, yes, we lived together, but we split everything down the middle pretty much. It wasn't until we had this joint venture doing the wedding that we honestly had a lot of arguments, a lot of tension. It can make or break couples. I've seen couples that have broken up just over wedding planning. And so that's another thing to consider, is like, is this really worth it? But also make sure you have those really important money conversations about how much do you earn? What are your goals for their future? Do you have any debt? And what's the plan with that? Are we going to pay it down together and then focus on saving up together for a down payment? You need to have those conversations before wedding talk.
So one of the things that is suggested here in this article I have in front of me from moneysense.ca is have fewer people at your wedding. So you don't have to have fourth and fifth cousins on the guest list, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we had what we thought was a small wedding, but I think there were 75 people.
Seems sizable to me.
That seems sizable to me too. I'm like, I don't even know how I knew that many people. but yeah, I mean, that's the best way to cut back because each person, I think, you know, you can really calculate it to the dollar of each person costs like $250 or, you know, just an example. And so if you cut that, you know, wedding list, make it smaller, then you can get a smaller venue. You're spending less on food and alcohol. It all culminates into some really big savings. So I've been seeing a lot more people do, you know, much smaller weddings. And again, if they want to incorporate something bigger, you know, have something separate outside at a bar or what have you, or in your backyard. I've gone to a wedding like that myself, and it was a great, you know, experience. So yeah, you may want to consider cutting some people, but also, yeah, you got to be aware that you may hurt some feelings.
Yeah, you're going to bruise some egos for sure. Yeah. Okay, let's flip-flop away from the couple who's spending all the money to the people that are buying the wedding gifts and things. Are there any rules for wedding gift amounts?
You know what? Yeah, that's a good question. So I guess there's two kind of things to think about. Is there a wedding registry? So, you know, signed up with, you know, a department store or something like that. Honestly, I don't think most people do that anymore, but I always love doing it because I love shopping for someone else. And for that, I think it kind of depends on maybe the closeness you are to, you know, the bride and groom, how much you're feeling comfortable spending, and also how much you can honestly afford. When it comes to cash, and honestly, that's what we did. We're like, please, we live together. We have blenders. Please just give us cash. We are poor. I think it depends on the closeness and your affordability. There's definitely some ranges I've seen. you know, some, you know, websites say, you know, whatever the cost it costs for you to attend that wedding, then give that back to the bride and groom. Maybe something between $100 and $250. Again, it depends on maybe how fancy and, you know, lavish this wedding is.
And how close you are to the people. I mean, I don't know. I never know. I think I probably always, it's like tipping. I always err on the high side because I get confused sometimes. Jessica, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, what a pleasure to speak to you. Jessica Morehouse is a money expert, a speaker, and host of the More Money podcast. You got 10 seconds to tell me what's on the podcast this week that people should check out.
Ooh, yeah. Well, we only have a few weeks left of this season, and I cannot remember who's coming on the show, but honestly, I have over 360 episodes, so there is a top, like, there's no topic that I have not talked about, so a great variety for anyone to check out.
Check it out. It's called the More Money Podcast. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, too.
It's News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
One thing I will say about doing this show is that the music is excellent, coming in and out of the breaks. I like it a lot. I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards, who will be back on Monday. He'll be sitting in the big chair, taking you through all the big stories of the week. A little bit later, Laura Babcock of Power Group Communications and host of The O Show will be here. She's going to fix everything. Everything's a mess, and she's going to fix it. And I'm looking forward to talking to her and see what she has to say about some of these very big stories that we're going to talk about. Before we get to that, though, I want you to meet Imran Ahmed, a.k.a. Captain Ron. He is the founder of Great Pods, the Rotten Tomatoes for podcasts. And if you go on social media and you're looking for him on everything, he is at Great Pods. That's ampersand Great Pods. There's a newsletter. There's a website, greatpods.co. Check it out because you'll want to know what you want to listen to. You know, I find myself, I get into ruts occasionally, and I just end up listening to the same things over and over again. This sounds like a great idea. Let's bring Captain Ron on. How are you, Captain?
Hey, Richard, nice to be here and happy to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
This is amazing. Yeah.
So where'd you get the idea for this?
This was a pain point that I had. I've worked at audio business for over 10 years. I think you may know, and the audience may know, the app called TuneIn Radio.
Yeah.
So I worked there for about 8 years, and it was a pain point from customers and myself for the last couple of years, and that's how I started it. I enjoyed Siskel and Ebert and movie recommendations through critics, and I was wondering if podcast critics were the same. And here we are.
And here we are. Well, yeah. What are some of your recommendations right now? I was just saying in the intro, I find myself listening to the same things over and over again. I like interview shows, so I listen to Smartless and Mark Maron and Dax Shepard's Armchair Expert. But I want to branch out a little bit. So what should I be listening to?
Yeah, comfort food is always great. And that's the same thing with comfort podcasts. But once in a while, there'll be a great one that pops through and the critics will let you know. The first one up, I believe it's going to be Believe in Magic from the BBC.
Let's have a listen to that.
In 2012, a new charity bursts onto the scene. It's called Believe in Magic, and it grants wishes to seriously ill children. It's run by an inspirational 16-year-old girl called Megan Bari. She herself is extremely unwell with a life-threatening brain tumour when something doesn't add up about Megan's story. A small group of parents start to question whether Meg is really ill.
So this sounds like a true crime kind of thing. It started off as one thing. You lured me in with that. I thought this was going to be like a Make-A-Wish sort of podcast, and then it turns into something like a true crime podcast.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! Head on, top, right on the nose. This podcast was like, at first I thought it was okay, the run-of-the-mill scam podcast, and then halfway through, there's a twist in the story, which was crazy to me. All the episodes are out right now, just in case somebody wants to binge. Yeah. The podcast, it just finished up and wrapped up, but it is interesting. I'm trying to figure out how to describe it without giving away spoilers to the story, but if the listeners listened a couple of weeks ago, I had recommended another scam podcast called Scamanda, think of it in the vein of Scamander. There's a medical problem, people exploiting medical issues for money and luxuries. So think of it in that sense. The storytelling is great, and there's a couple of twists and turns towards the end.
And it certainly sounds great. I'll tell you, I love that voice, and the music was great too. It's called Believe in Magic, and you can find that on the BBC. I'm speaking with Imran Ahmed, a.k.a. Captain Ron, founder of Great Pods, the Rotten Tomatoes for podcasts. Find him on socials at Great Pods. What's up next?
Up next, we have another drama. This is a drama-filled conversation we're having here. This is going to be Flipping the Bird, Elon, that's Elon Musk, Elon versus Twitter by Wondery.
Here we go.
Twitter is under new ownership.
Elon Musk has arrived at Twitter's San Francisco offices.
And he's got big ideas about how his platform should be.
I believe in the free flow of ideas. Is someone you don't like allowed to say something you don't like? That is a sign of a healthy, functioning, free speech situation.
Except maybe for one Twitter employee.
So this sounds very hot button. This sounds like something that has been in the news very recently. Certainly Elon Musk makes news almost every day now. Tell me about Flipping the Bird, Elon versus Twitter.
Yeah, this is classic storytelling from David Brown. If there's podcasts you listen to, at least for the last couple of years, this one called Business Wars. And David Brown is that journalist who's been doing these stories with Business Wars. This one is wholly dedicated. Those are usually last one or two episodes. The Bird, Flipping the Bird, lasts an entire season's worth of episodes where he gets interviews. He gets recorded interviews and interspersed with first-person interviews and TV interviews and the storytelling along with, of course, like as you mentioned with the last podcast, professional sounding music, the drama, all the inner workings. For me personally, Elon is, and this is my personal take, Elon, I could care less about, but the intricacies of the business takeover, that's like the juicy stuff for me. Like, what did he do and what did he could get away with as far as the business structure in the States?
We've got one more to get to, but before we get to the last recommendation, what is it, generally speaking, that you think makes a great podcast? You've mentioned storytelling a couple of times. Is it all just about the storytelling for you?
Oh, it really depends on the genre that you want to explore. Comedy, like, for example, Smartless. Smartless is highly rated on Great Pods. There's a bunch of critical reviews on it. And it's not because of their structure, they have no structure, really. Here's a guest and you improvise throughout, but they're such good friends. And that's what makes it a good podcast because you're like in that room itself. Of course, the sound quality does make a difference. So you have professional sounding equipment like those guys do, even Business Wars and the podcast I'm recommending today. I think you have to take them piece by piece. And that's what I love what critics do. They actually will take each genre piece by piece and give you why and why you shouldn't listen to a particular podcast.
All right. What is our third recommendation from you?
Now, this one, I only had two recommendations that had full podcasts that were already released. Right. This last one is going to be a famous podcaster from Britain. His name is Louis Theroux. And this is the Louis Theroux podcast.
Let's have a listen.
Hello, I'm Louis Theroux, and I'd like you to listen to my brand new podcast, where every Tuesday I speak to a fascinating guest who's notable, who's legendary in their chosen field.
I would listen to that voice. I would just want to listen to that voice. What do you love about this one?
So Louis Theroux is well known in the TV and the radio and podcast space in Britain. He's kind of crossed over a little bit. If you want a full podcast of his from the BBC, it's called Grounded with Louis Theroux. Excellent interviewer, excellent conversationalist for over the last 20 years. This one is coming out next week. So this is more like save it in your podcast app. Right. Actually, it is exclusive to Spotify. So you will need to use Spotify for this. Unfortunately, I don't like exclusivity like that, but it is what it is. He signed a deal with them, and this is a brand new one. You also may know him from the viral song, My Money Don't Jiggle Jiggle, viral rap. If you've heard of it, that's him also. So there you go. I would save it. I'm ready for that podcast. He's an excellent interviewer.
So most of these podcasts you can find pretty much anywhere. Though, right?
Because yes, Believe in Magic is everywhere. Flipping the Bird is everywhere. Luis Theroux, specifically Spotify exclusive.
Well, Imran, thanks so much for all this. It's a lot of fun to talk to you.
A pleasure to speaking with you, Richard. Have a great weekend.
You too. That was Imran Ahmed, a.k.a. Captain Ron, founder of Great Pods, the Rotten Tomatoes for podcasts. If you want to know more on social media, go to @GreatPods. There's a newsletter and then the website, greatpods.co. And I'm on it right now. It's a cool site and very easy to navigate. So if you're looking for something to listen to that's a little bit outside your comfort zone, check out one of these things. And then there's dozens of other ones here to have a look at as well. So lots of great information there. I'm Richard Krause sitting in for Jim Richards. When we come back, Laura Babcock fixes everything. Stay with me.
News Talk Tonight is on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Richard Krause sitting in for Jim Richards. Don't worry, Jim will be back on Monday night. I'm here for the next little while, and I am pleased to welcome Laura Babcock onto the show. Laura is from Power Group Communications and the host of The O Show. But more importantly tonight, Laura's going to fix everything, because we all know everything's a mess. You can't turn on the radio, you can't turn on the television, you can't pick up a newspaper, and don't even check your Twitter account because everything's a mess. So Laura's going to fix all that stuff for us. Are you ready to begin the fixing?
Let's do it.
All right. So after several months of raucous meetings and presentations on the topic, trustees with the York Catholic District Board voted 6-4 against flying the rainbow flag outside its building in Aurora during the month of June. This has been all over the news. Laura, what's to be done about this from a communications point of view?
Well, I mean, I think it's a terrible decision, and I think it's anachronistic. It's making them look bigoted and behind the times. And even the provincial education minister has come out several times about this. We see the premier going to Pride events in solidarity with, let's face it, it's about equality. And so for them to be taking this position, it's not a moral stance. A lot of the parents have conducted themselves foolishly and amateurly and embarrassed themselves, I think, to their communities, their employers, and their families. So this is a situation that is it's a bad move from public relations point of view. And to come back from it as a school board, they have to go back at this decision. They have to have another emergency meeting. They have to find the number of votes they need to open it up to discussion again. They can't let this sit. Now, in terms of the community, if you're looking for what can be done about it, they can encircle the property with pride flags just outside of the jurisdiction of the property. They can do all kinds of things as a community to say, because this one vote was taken to make people feel as though they don't matter, they're not equal in 2023, it doesn't mean as a community we have to sit by and take it. So I'm hoping that people in the area speak up loudly, that other elected officials make their frustration and their disappointment known to this board. And I hope throughout the Catholic school board, they get some pressure from other Catholic school boards that say, listen, you're hurting our board. There's already an argument out there, Richard, to cancel public funding for private Catholic school boards or for Catholic school boards. All they're doing is feeding into that narrative. So it's a communications disaster locally, personally, and also I think across the board, if you pardon the pun, in terms of the reason for tax dollars to go into a separate school board.
Do you think that any amount of pressure from the media and from other local politicians will actually have any real effect? Because it's been all over the news and there hasn't been anything announced saying, yeah, we're going to, you know, have another vote.
You know what? Not immediately, and certainly not from the media and from maybe other politicians, although the media needs to do their job and speak to the broader community about it. And politicians have to do their job and take a principled stance. Either you're for equality or you're not, right? This is not about some flag, and this isn't about some woke or anti-woke thing. This is about every student knowing that they are cared for and accepted as who they are, how they were born, and that is basic in 2023. So do I think that public pushback will have an effect? Absolutely. Do I think that there are all kinds of ways for other organizations that this board has any kind of connection with in the community, in terms of any other intramural kind of things? Other places can say, we reject what you have done. And believe me, that pressure comes to bear, Richard. It might take a little bit of time, but it comes to bear.
Was Anthony Bass's 35-second apology enough? He said all the right words, but he didn't take questions after posting on Instagram an anti-LGBTQ2S+ video. So he's made the apology, but was it enough? As a comms person, how would you fix this?
Well, he's got to show that he means it, right? A forced apology in the line of I'm using the Blue Jays resources, and then having Pride Toronto come out and say we have a great relationship with the Jays and we're going to do a learning moment. I mean, everybody's throwing the right comms at this. But what people are looking for now is they're saying, wait, hold on a second. For you to retweet something like that or to repost something like that, says what you really believe. So if you want us to think that because you clearly hurt your family and your friends and the broader community and the Blue Jays brand and everything else, that suddenly you feel remorse and you've changed your position, not so fast. I mean, people, you know that expression, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. I think that he's got more work that he needs to do to demonstrate that that was a one-off, that was a true mistake, that he's completely learned from it or not. If he hasn't, then just be that guy and face the consequences of that. But kind of the fact that the Toronto crowd booed him even after that apology had gone public means that people are seeing this as a bit of a PR stunt, and they're wondering, okay, what do you really believe? So it's going to take more than just a statement, Richard, in his case. He's got to show that he gets it. And that's hard, but he has to do it if he really does get it, or if he wants to get it. I think there's always room for redemption in the public space if you really show you want to learn and act differently.
Do you think that if he had taken questions, that we'd be phrasing this conversation a little differently?
Well, of course, because the whole point of questions in a Q&A at a presser is to probe. That's the point. I used to be a journalist. That's why you go to these things. If they're just going to issue a statement, do it on a video and post it on YouTube. Who cares? It's just a single statement written by probably other people to try to hit all the pain points, right?
Yeah.
Statement was fine. But the Q&A is where people who are trained to ask questions get to say to this person, okay, nice statement, but what did you mean by this? Nice statement, but what did you mean by that? What are you going to do differently? How do you think this impacted people? What are you truly sorry about? I mean, it's still delving into the language in the statement and testing against the delivery of the person in the moment, Richard, where we get to see truth, which is why journalism matters more now than ever. We need to have trained questioners ask people in situations like this real questions. And then you get to see, okay, he's authentic. He is remorseful. He is learning. Let's give the guy a chance. But to shut down questions kind of tells me it's more of the PR team going, oh, he's not ready to face those. And that tells me that maybe it's not that authentic.
I'm speaking with Laura Babcock of Power Group Communications and the host of The O Show, and she's fixing everything tonight. So David Johnson was voted, well, the MPs voted for David Johnson to resign as rapporteur. And he says, nope. I'm hired by the government. I've got a job to do. I'm not stepping down. Opposition MPs teamed up to pass an NDP motion calling for him to remove himself, and yet nothing has happened. Two things on this one. How glad will you be when we never have to say the word rapporteur ever again? And what do you think he should do? People are saying that it is reflecting badly on Justin Trudeau, that it's bringing the whole thing down, it's disrespecting the government. What's your take on it? You got 2 minutes.
This was a mistake for the Maget from a PR perspective by the Trudeau government, born particularly of hubris, one would suspect. They thought, you know what, as long as we tout out this fancy friend of ours who has a fancy reputation, come up with a fancy word, we're going to fancily stall this thing from the inevitable public inquiry. From the beginning, Richard, I thought that that was a mistake, because not only do people not necessarily know David Johnston, I mean, not everybody follows GG's accomplishments, but also, what the hell is a rapporteur? I grew up in Quebec, never heard the term, right? You got to look it up. How is that connecting with people? You've got a juggernaut of Pierre Poilievre out there pushing this constant narrative, this drumbeat that's only getting louder. You got Jagmeet taking a position also for public inquiry, and the rest of us who work in comms going, an inquiry is the vehicle that Canadians trust. Whether you like Trudeau or you don't like Trudeau, or you like Johnston or you don't like Johnston, this rapporteur thing and himself recommending his own investigation is going to be sufficient was never going going to fly. So what does he do now? He goes against his own recommendations? He can't. Then his reputation is totally gone. He's got, you know, half of Canada mad at him already. He's going to lose the other half. He's got to plug through. This is on Trudeau. Trudeau has to let his friend, his mentor, whatever he is to Trudeau, off the hook here and say, thank you for your excellent service. I hope you can continue with your inquiry. But we also need to now put in a public inquiry for the sake of getting to the bottom of what's happening to our democracy. It's not about Trudeau. It's not about Johnston. It's about our democracy.
Yeah, Andrew Scheer, and we're down to virtually no time left here, but Andrew Scheer has just essentially said, and I've just lost the quote here, he said that this is Trudeau showing disrespect for the government, and this will never do. And I'm guessing that you agree with that.
It's disrespect for the country. Yeah. I don't care about the government as an institution, nor do I care about political parties. It's disrespectful to the future of our democracy.
That was Laura Babcock of Power Group Communications and host of The O Show. She's fixed everything for us. Laura, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Richard. Take care.
Stay with me. Lots more to come. I'm Richard Krause, in for Jim Richards.
It's News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, everybody. Richard Krause in for Jim Richards. Jim will be back on Monday, and it's Friday. And so that means that we're going to have a look at some of the movies that are playing in theaters this weekend. And, you know, it's a great weekend to go see a movie, because I think it's going to be hot all weekend. I haven't been outside for a while, and I'm sitting in a very cold studio right now. But even when you go out into the hallway from the studio, you can feel the heat kind of, you know, hit you like a little wall of humidity. So I think probably over the weekend, it's going to be, 19, 20, 22, 24 degrees, hot enough so that you might want some air conditioning if you don't have it at home. Perfect time to go see a movie. So we're going to play a game that Jim Richards usually plays called Does Richard Krause Like These Movies? It's awkward because I'm here and I know the answers, but we're going to give it a go anyway and see what happens. So let's have clip number one, please. In Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, a new animated movie now playing in theaters, Miles Morales, that's Brooklyn's full-time friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, is catapulted across the multiverse where he encounters a team of spider people charged with protecting its very existence. However, when the heroes clash on how to handle a new threat, Miles finds himself pitted against the other spiders.
My name is Miles Morales. I'm Brooklyn's one and only Spider-Man. And things are going great.
So wait a minute. There's an elite crew with all the best spider people in it?
Who's the new guy?
Danger. This is unbelievable. Everyone keeps telling me how my story is supposed to go. Nah, I'm gonna do my own thing.
All stations, stop Spider-Man.
Well, that does sound exciting. But what did Richard Krause think about it? Tony Tedesco... What do you think?
Wow. I don't think you can have too much Spider-Man, and there's more Spider-Mans, lots of Spider-Mans, and they get together and then they fight. You know what? And it's animated, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that Richard Krause thinks this was at least a 4.
Well, I'm going to say that you are correct. It is a 4. It is a 4. And I'll tell you why. This movie is animated, but it is animated in the most eye-popping of ways. It is sort of a pop culture pastiche of every animation style from the last 100 years thrown at the screen in just absolutely a way that will give your eyeballs a Charles Atlas style workout watching this thing. It is so beautiful to look at just because it is so frenetic. It almost sometimes looks like an artist's palette, color palette, which fell onto the screen, and these great, beautiful blotches of color turn into images and tell the story partially that way. But it's also an emotional story about these teens, Gwen and Miles, who are Spider-Woman and Spider-Man, respectively, who are trying to figure out their way in the world, both as a son and a daughter to parents who are not superheroes, but also figuring out their obligations versus what their responsibilities are. It's good stuff all around, and it has a wicked soundtrack. So I gave it 4 out of 5 stars, and it's in theaters right now. Let's see what's up next. In The Boogeyman, a new horror film from writer Stephen King, a young man grapples with the childhood terror that has never stopped haunting him. The Boogeyman still lives in his memories as a creature that devoured his father 16 years earlier.
There's no such thing as monsters. You need to grow up! I'm serious, Sawyer. I need to be alone!
You're both having these manifestations. What is this supposed to be?
It's the thing that comes for your kids when you're not paying attention.
Terrifying. Terrifying. Creepy. Or is it, Tony Tedesco? What do
Creepy.
You think?
Well, I'm going to defer to Rachel on this one. Oh. Let's find out what she thinks.
So I think you gave this one a 3.
Oh, and why do you think that?
I don't know. It didn't sound anything too different from other
right.
horror movies.
It feels like a 3. It feels like a 3 to you. Well, you're almost there. It's 3.5 out of 5 stars for me. And what this movie is an interesting look at a family who is in grief. It is, the villain here, the evil entity, is the Boogeyman. And it's interesting that the Boogeyman is whoever and whatever you want it to be. From your own point of view, it's not Dracula, because we all know what Dracula looks like. We know what Frankenstein looks like. We know what a werewolf looks like. The Boogeyman can be almost anything. And in this case, it is the evil entity that torments a family who has recently lost the mother. And it's a 16-year-old girl, her little sister, and the husband, played by Chris Messina. And the Boogeyman feeds off their fear and their grief, which is kind of a topic that'll stay in your head a little bit. It's not particularly scary, but what it is creates a feeling of unease that I really liked. And it makes you feel just a little bit squishy while you're watching it. So not terrifying, which is why I gave it 3.5 out of 5 stars, but it does have some great atmosphere. It's called The Boogeyman, and it's in theaters right now.
Wow, so very much like the boogeyman that lives under my bed that gives me that creepy feeling, but doesn't actually come out and scare me every night.
Yep.
Right, okay, cool. What's next, Richard?
Next up, we have a movie called Bones of Crows in theaters this weekend. In the movie Bones of Crows, a new drama now playing in theaters, Cree code talker Aileen Spears survives her traumatic past in the residential school system to continue her family's generational fight against systemic starvation, racism, and sexual abuse.
If it wasn't for the church, the residential school system would never exist.
We have 324 students that will keep them in a state of malnutrition.
And if you want to motivate the Indian, you must starve him.
Naturally, we're seeing a rise in sickness.
Be careful. You're going to see things you never forget. You got to keep it inside you.
You didn't think your master escape would go unpunished.
I need your protection.
You're an Indian. I don't owe you anything.
Tony Tedesco, what do you think of that?
Wow. I think we need to tell these stories, and I'm just blown away by the trailer. I've practically choking up just listening to that, and to sit and watch that for an hour and a half or 2 hours, I can't imagine the emotional roller coaster I will go on. I'm going to give this a, I don't know what you would have given it, but just from what I've heard, what little I've heard, I'm going to go with a 4.
It is a 4 out of 5 star movie for me. This is a movie that covers almost 100 years of history. It is hard to watch sometimes as it skips through time, but we learn more about the residential schools system. We learn about the main character's life after the Second World War, her sister's legal woes, and the next generation, the children that carried the trauma in their DNA. DNA of everything that happened there. And it is a story of hard truths, but they're told with skill. And despite the sprawling nature of the story, it doesn't feel bloated. There's so much emotion that gets to the heart of how generational trauma forever altered the life of these characters. So I gave it 4 out of 5 stars. It's called Bones of Crows, and it's in theaters right now. Thank you for playing Did Richard Krauss Love These Movies with me. When we come back, it's Slow News Day on News Talk Tonight. I'm Richard Krauss, in for Jim Richards. Stay with me.
It's News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Richard Krauss. Jim Richards will be in on Monday, back in his usual seat. Until then, I'll be here with you. And it's time for Slow News Day. This is Tony Tedesco, does a great job of finding unusual stories to tell. And he tells them to me, we comment on them, and then I choose my favorite weird news story of the week. Tony, what's up first?
An escaped inmate in Ohio was caught earlier this week when he was recognized while trying to order a hamburger from McDonald's. Jason Lyle Conrad, when he came through to buy food, basically he... We lost part of the story there. And he basically went into McDonald's and asked for the dollar menu, which hadn't been there in years, at least not in. And so it looked a little bit weird, and they were actually able to catch up to Jason soon afterward. Here's the McDonald's employee that recognized the escaped inmate.
He was asking for a something off the dollar menu, and I was like, there hasn't been a dollar menu at McDonald's for a while. Like, he's been out of touch. And then, like, it clicked for me. I was like, oh, no, that's that guy.
That's hilarious. It's like, walking into, it's just one of those things when you've just been out of the loop for a while, you see someone with a cell phone, you go, what is that weird thing you're holding to your head? If you've been away, maybe like in jail for a while, you might not know. So old Jason, he should have just Googled dollar menu, figured out that there wasn't such a thing anymore.
Yeah, there we go. We're going to move on to some feel-good news. An eighth grader from St. Louis received a scholarship after he walked for 2 hours just to get to his graduation ceremony. Uh-huh. Here is Xavier Jones talking about why he decided to walk there, and the president of the university talking about why she decided to give Jones a full-ride scholarship. And that's number 5.
I remember something that Mr. Sales told me. He said, if I want it, I got to go get it. So I wanted to graduate, so I went to get my graduation.
It spoke volumes to me. It spoke resilience. That is what sparked my interest in saying, hey, this is a type of kid that we want to recruit to Harris Stowe.
Yeah, imagine, just the details of the story scream underdog who refuses to accept an underdog mentality. And, the resilience that the one teacher spoke of is such an important trait. And I love stories like that.
Staying with school, Delaware High School students pulled off one of the best senior pranks ever by sneaking into their principal's home and sleeping inside of it. The entire senior class at a private school in Delaware pranked their principal by sneaking into the house at 1 o'clock in the morning, having a sleepover downstairs. She did not realize until she came down to make coffee at 6 a.m., and found dozens of kids on the floor sleeping. Here's a video of it as it's blowing up on Instagram. Apparently, she wasn't that upset.
Good morning, little bunnies. Oh, my God. And all of you.
You might want to walk around.
Oh, you two are really, you are in the most trouble.
So I don't know if I'd be as forgiving as that woman was if I walked down to my living room or out of my bedroom and saw all these kids there, quote, pranking me. I'd be like, is this a prank or is it a break and enter? Like, what exactly is happening here right now? I don't think I'd be as, hey, bunnies. I'd be like on the phone, 911, throw these kids in jail and none of you graduate.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. It must be graduation week because we got a lot of graduation stories today. Students and parents are upset at a high school in Illinois after their graduation had a major misspelling on them, their stoles. It happened. It spelled the word graduate as gradutate.
Oh, man.
Here are the graduates now, along with a couple of parents talking about being disappointed by that mistake.
I don't understand how you mess up a whole word. Shouldn't happen like that.
We ain't realized until, like, we was walking out the gate. They could have checked before because they made, like, 600 plus. So, and all of them were spelled wrong.
We're terribly disappointed and appalled about how they would even pass those out to the students. That would embarrass the community, the families, and even the school district should be embarrassed.
The school district should be mostly embarrassed of all of them.
Gradutate?
Gradutate. But they didn't mess up the whole word. They just threw an extra T in there. It's not like they spelt it, you know, with none of the correct letters. They just put one extra letter in there. But it's funny how, and I know this from my own writing, I will sit and I'll write a paragraph and I will reread it and I will see nothing wrong with it. And then this is why I never hand in anything that I've written until I've let it sit for a little while, and I go back and I look at it with a different set of eyes, because the first time you type something out, you read what you think you just typed. Whoever typed gradutate probably just read it over and said, yeah, that looks right to me, and kept going. Had they taken some time, they might have figured out the mistake.
Well, I'm looking at my Slow News Day script here, teleprompter, and I can tell you there's a million mistakes in it. As you hear me stumbling through those mistakes, like, oh, that's not what I meant to write. Of note, by the way, the school is attempting to Photoshop the correct spelling onto all the pictures to make the situation right. Can you imagine that?
That's like when in the movie The Last Waltz, the final concert that the band ever did, and they had an all-star group of musicians come and perform at it, and Neil Young played, and he had a rock of cocaine hanging off the side of his nose for the entire performance. But it's such a brilliant performance, they wanted to put it in the movie. This is back before they had CGI, so someone had to go to the original print and paint out the rock of cocaine on every frame of film. Yep.
That takes a lot. Thank God for digital stuff, right? And if you've ever watched Seinfeld, you saw a lot of Elaine going straight to Jerry's fridge when she entered his apartment. Here's Julia Dreyfus explaining why they would do this.
What we were always challenged by was, as soon as you walk into the apartment, what are you supposed to do? What business am I going to find to do in this apartment? You're not just going to come in and sit on the couch every time. You had the couch, the kitchen, and then you had between the counter and the couch. But you also had to figure out what you were going to do, which is why I often would go to the refrigerator and just find things, or even just go and look in the refrigerator and not do anything. But we had to be creative about it.
I love that. I like sort of behind the scenes stories. And of course, so much of that show took place in that one room. And how do you utilize it? How do you, over the course of dozens of episodes, keep it from just looking the same every time out, keep it from getting stale? Well, you just invent little bits of business. And that's one of the reasons, I think, that shows like that last forever, because that's an attention to detail that's so important. I love that story.
Absolutely amazing. And I mean, same with Kramer, the way he walked in, always with the shake. I mean, just take away from the fact, like, we're going to go sit on the couch now.
One more time.
It was so rare to even actually see them all sit on the couch. Anyway, this one doesn't have any audio, but Missouri would like to remind people that it is against the law to wrestle bears. Mm. There have been a lot of bear sightings in one area of Missouri specifically. So the local police department is reminding people that bear wrestling is, in fact, illegal in Missouri. It's actually what they call a Class A misdemeanor. I would imagine that taking selfies with the bears is also not something you should be doing.
You know, there's a lot of weird rules in America. They got a lot of weird rules over there and laws. This is not one of them.
This is probably a good one.
Sense. This, yeah. This one I agree with.
let's pick a piece of audio that we liked tonight.
I would go with the Seinfeld thing. I love that. I love behind the scenes show busy stuff, and that's my pick right there.
For Richard Krause tonight, I agree with you. Here's Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Challenged by was, as soon as you walk into the apartment, what are you supposed to do? What business am I going to find to do in this apartment? You're not just going to come in and sit on the couch every time. You had the couch, the kitchen, and then you had between the counter and the couch. But you also had to figure out what you were going to do, which is why
that's it.
I often...
thanks so much for that, Tony. Appreciate it. I'm Richard Krause, in for Jim Richards.